Heart. You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
What is heart? Heart is running through a return man when the game is on the line. Heart is giving everything you have in practice, day after day. Heart is finding the strength to run down the field one more time when you can barely breathe. The heart in me pumps Husker Red.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the Five Heart Podcast, brought to you by Coronation.com, hosted on JitteryMonkey.com, part of the Jittery Monkey family of podcasts. My name is Greg Mahochko, and joining me are my brother from another mother in Haas Reuter and my great-great uncle from somewhere in the family tree, John Dam Johnson.
From a carbuncle.
And that's our show. Good night, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, y'all.
Well, I was thinking, you say Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone, as Thanksgiving is the day after this show will drop. But, Haas, you mentioned just before we went onto the air or went started recording, a very special week. It is Iowa Hate Week.
It only comes around once a year, and by God, it's glorious. And you know what? We're going to get over on those assholes to the east this year.
John?
Wait a minute. It doesn't come around just once every year.
Hey,
the hell is wrong with you?
There's no, this is a football podcast right now.
Okay, fine.
We don't acknowledge that things like basketball, volleyball, and baseball exist.
You're a poopy butt.
Wow. Ouch. All of a sudden, Haas, you are the equivalent of my son. On occasion,
I'm going to have to dock John points for a lack of originality in that insult.
All right. So John starts out the episode between that and the carbuncle. He's at negative 10 points. Going to have to really dig himself out of a hole here as we get going, Haas.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. He's going to have to get something going because, you know, you can't fall into a hole like this early and expect to come back and win at the end.
Not with the kind of defense that we've seen from him historically.
Yeah, you know what? He likes to run the ball an awful lot. He's going to have to air it out to get back into this thing. And right now, that's just not one of John Dam Johnson's strong suits.
Yeah, kind of like it's not one of Nate Stanley's strong suits either, is it?
There we go. I knew the segue was in there somewhere.
Well, before we get talking too much about our evil neighbors to the east, Let's go back to senior day this past Saturday, and Nebraska, Michigan State, of course, Nebraska winning that game, picking up their fourth win of the season in what has really become Nebraska, Michigan State style, and that means ugly. And obviously, weather played a factor, but it was, they mentioned it. It was highlighted on Twitter or social media, I'd say probably the most. But on a day when you honored your fallen comrades, your fallen kickers, it was fitting, really, that the game was, it was 9-6 and all the points scored were field goals. And of course, we can say that being on the upside of the score, it was a tough day, I think, for the offense with that Michigan State defense, but I think it helped prepare them for the challenge ahead.
Yeah, I think so, too. That Iowa front is not going to be appreciably different than Michigan State's. And the weather's going to be a whole lot better, so that'll be in our favor a little bit more with our style of play. But it was a good tune-up going into Iowa, and I don't mean that in terms of any disrespect towards Michigan State, calling them a tune-up, but we needed to get into one of those back-alley brawls and come out on top because it does a lot for a team's confidence to go toe-to-toe with a team that, I mean, Michigan State was preseason number 11, and to go toe-to-toe with them and come out on top on a day that was tailor-made for Big Ten football in terms of the weather, that's huge. And even though the offense wasn't clicking a little bit, as a play caller, Scott Frost showed the ability to scrap the plan and just do battle and, call what needed to be called. And it was, it really felt like a milestone win walking out of the stadium on Saturday, even though it was 3-7 Nebraska squaring off with 6-4 Michigan State. It just, the atmosphere, you know, the defense coming around and saving the day after being much maligned all year long. It just, it truly felt like a little bit of a milestone, a kind of a watershed moment.
I think it was, you know, the offense showed that they could win a game even by without scoring a touchdown, but Adrian Martinez did not play well. Do you think that was really because of the weather, or if he was mentally affected by the weather, or he just had a bad game, or what the hell is going on there?
Well, I think it was the weather. I was at the game, and that was some of the more foul weather conditions I've encountered for a Nebraska game. Wind was whipping straight out of the northeast at about 30 miles an hour. You know, it was snowy. It didn't start snowing until later in the game, but when that snow started coming down, that wind picked up. So that plays a role in it. But that Michigan State defense, that was probably one of the better defenses I've seen Nebraska play in a very long time. There was the interior offensive line did not give Martinez good protection. They were getting rushers through, you know, in the A gaps and B gaps. Our tackles did all right, but he was affected by pressure right in his face. And then when we were trying to run the football, there'd be holes that would open up. And by the time Ozigbo or Maurice Washington could press the line of scrimmage or press the point of attack, those holes were closing up. That was a very fast, very disciplined defensive front seven.
It's a good thing Antonio Reed showed up to play.
Yeah. It was a welcome to the party, pal moment. You know, it's, you heard so much about the potential that he had his entire career, and it's just he never quite put it all together to show it on the field, and it's fitting that it, you know, finally happened in his last game in Memorial Stadium, and I'm happy, you know, better late than never. I'm happy that he showed up, and we could use another big game like that from him against Iowa.
Well, there's one left.
Yeah, I know. Now the depression sets in.
Don't think about it yet. We've still got to get through this.
I'm going to have to do what you did all day yesterday, watch NFL football, except unlike you, I actually enjoy watching the NFL, John.
I enjoyed it yesterday.
Just a couple weeks ago, you were telling me in Slack about how much you can't, how little of NFL you watch.
Well, that is true. That's because it used to be that there was no offense whatsoever. Now it's apparent that there's offense. Somebody decided I don't know, maybe we'd change the rules, or maybe there's some coaches in the NFL that finally said, I don't have to run this same offense everybody else does. Maybe I'll do something innovative, different.
Wow.
Well, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago when that trend started sweeping through the NFL, that's when I started watching a whole hell of a lot more of NFL, because I was like you once upon a time, John.
Listen, let's not kid ourselves. Your old, crusty, angry years are ahead of you.
You know what? I may never get old, crusty, and angry. Cynicism's not my wheelhouse.
It happens. Your children disappoint you. Your dog bites you. Your cars break down. Taxes.
Oh, man. The car's breaking down. I'm well acquainted with that one.
All right. So, what else about the Michigan State? I will say one more thing about the Michigan State game. The last two plays of the game, what happened?
On the incompletion on fourth down, and back in my brain.
No. The last two plays of the game.
Oh. Well, we got into our victory formation and took a knee, and then the second time we snapped it, it almost went over his head.
Yeah.
I kind of let out a real nervous laugh in the stadium, just kind of thinking to myself, like, oh, that could have been bad.
And I did. Was there anybody around you that said, why isn't he under center?
Oh, yeah, there's someone behind me. It was actually a Michigan State fan who was behind me. He was like, why isn't he under center? It's like, well, tell you the truth, a lot more could go wrong if you're primarily a shotgun or pistol team getting under center for the first time all game in that situation.
Did you explain it to him?
Yeah, we're taking a knee. That's our victory formation. we're a shotgun oriented team.
That's kind of what I thought. But then that last snap almost went over his head, and I thought, oh, my God. And then nobody has mentioned it at all. No, I thought people would be like,
We're all just so dadgum happy.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Oh, man, let me tell you, on the way out of there, there happened to be an Iowa fan standing there on the corner of about 10th and M Street wearing his Iowa starter jacket. It was white and yellow, and the white was more yellow than white. And my buddy goes, hey, it's Iowa Hate Week. And another Nebraska fan goes, hell, that's every week. And the Iowa fan goes, fuck you guys. Nebraska. What the fuck do you expect, pal?
Yeah, especially there right after a game.
Yeah, like either you expect to waltz through there without a cross word being spoken in his direction. I mean, just totally couldn't take it in stride at all.
Greg, are you still with us?
Oh, I'm absolutely here. I was enjoying the anecdote, especially as we're in Iowa Hate Week. New shirts are available at jitterymonkey.com/shop, so you can get your Iowa Sucks shirt in red and white, you know, the scarlet and cream, or you can go guerrilla style and get it in black and gold. There's or black and yellow. There's your cheap plug for the T-shirt shop that is up and running now, jitterymonkey.com/shop. T-shirts ordered today should be in probably after the game unless you do some expedited shipping, but you'll always have the memories. You'll know it's on the way.
Oh, yeah. You know, you can maybe even get the score printed on the back. Go to your local T-shirt printing store in whatever town, nice hamlet you reside in, and
get the score.
50. Oh, nope. I'm going to save that prediction because I've been saying it all damn year. I'm going to save it for the end. The time will come.
I was going to say, don't give them ideas because we can put that on the shirt shop, jitterymonkey.com/shop. We can put the score up there and remind everyone. I like it.
You know, there might need to be another T-shirt idea if my prediction I've been saying all year comes to fruition.
50 burger?
Just a red shirt, white lettering that says half a hundred.
I'm on board. We'll make it happen.
Oh, yeah. I would wear that shirt every day.
And hopefully
you'd wash it every day. I have to get a second one to cut the sleeves off of so I can wear it in the gym.
So, going back to the Michigan State game, and don't worry, folks, we are going to rip on Iowa, for a good portion of the show. But I, this is going to sound bad, I have DVR'd the game. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I listened to the game. I was working on Saturday, so I was listening to the game through the TuneIn app that a friend of the show, Josh, reminded me was a thing a few weeks back. So I was listening to the Huskers IMG radio network, and it was nice to hear, you know, like the voice of Greg Sharp, Matt Davison, on there. Matt Coatney was in the booth doing the scoreboard updates, things like that. Just I enjoyed that, but again, I didn't watch the game. I have the game on DVR. I'll probably watch it. Give me something to do Thanksgiving night. You know, a little to use Haas your phrase, a little tune up before Friday. But you know, everything that I heard, I mean, it was just. It was the kind of game, and I know this is rehashing a little bit, but it was the kind of game that we needed from the defense. You know, you have Muhammad Berry who, you know, eclipsed the 100 tackle mark. I think he's the first Husker in a season to have 100 tackles since 2014. Obviously, Divine Ozigbo crossing the 1,000-yard mark. I mean, just on a day when you needed everybody at their best, and you know, weather conditions being what they were and the opponent being who it was. I mean, this is a Michigan State team that has traditionally held offenses in check. You needed to find ways to win, and I said it at the end of last episode as a joke. I said, you know, someday you're just, you know, I believe that I'm still in the camp that someday you just need a field goal. And Bear Pickering, man, he came through in a big way, and I think his performance this past Saturday shook off the kind of negative feelings that a lot of Husker fans harbored towards him at the beginning of the season, correct?
Yeah. I would definitely say that he shook off the negative feelings. That was a hell of a performance. That last field goal that he hit to take the lead, man, that thing was a line drive and gave me a heart attack seeing it come off of his foot. But that was a hell of a performance. His kickoffs, he's actually a really good kickoff specialist as well.
Can I ask about that?
Because
at the beginning of the season, we all know Caleb Lightbourne, you know, lost the punting duties. But was it just this game? I mean, was Lightbourne hurt?
No. Pickering kicked off against Illinois too.
I missed that part.
The staff benched Lightbourne after the Ohio State mishap.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now is he? We talked about this before, you know, especially this year with the attrition and the guys who aren't, you know, in the spot on the depth chart that they think they should be. Do we foresee Caleb Lightbourne being a guy who's going to stick it out and try to earn that spot back, or is he, you know, going to try a greener pasture somewhere?
I would probably say that he'll try a greener pasture being a junior this year, you know. With only a year left of eligibility. He still has a redshirt year because he played as a true freshman after Sam Fultz passed away. And
so that's right.
I think he'll probably transfer out of the program.
You know, that's unfortunate because and I think, you know, I guess you can say what you want about him. But he, as you mentioned, Haas did step into a very uncomfortable, I guess perhaps is the word, unfortunate, certainly, situation as a freshman. Was put in a spot that, you know, never – I mean, you never want to – I mean, obviously you want to earn a starting spot, but you never want it to have it, you know, happen that way. But really, I mean, I thought his sophomore year was really solid.
I thought so too. I thought he had a really nice sophomore campaign and, you know – Bob Diaco was the kickers and punters coach last year, so maybe he's just a huge Diaco guy.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know. I could see him. I mean, why transfer now?
You want to play.
Well, that's true.
But, I mean, try to win back the job over the offseason.
Right.
Spring ball. Summer, you know, you can't go as far as, like, fall camp, but try to do something, but... If he feels like him getting benched is something that he's not going to unseat Pickering or Isaac Armstrong at the punting position. Oh, excuse me. Can't stop yawning. He's probably off to greener pastures for him. You know, he might be a little upset that he transferred after we're playing in the Big Ten championship game next year.
Wow. Confidence.
Oh, I was waiting for a reaction.
Well, now here's the thing, and not to, I guess not to, you know, be a bandwagon. I'm not a bandwagon jumper because I've been on the wagon for, but I could see the way the defense, you know, everything came together for the defense this past weekend, and the way the offense has been rolling, when those two are firing on all cylinders at the same time. This Husker team is going to be awfully damn dangerous. We hope.
Very dangerous.
We hope that, you know, everyone's firing, you know, and everyone's heading the same direction Friday, obviously, because nothing would bring a smile to my face more than going into Iowa City and just beating the shit out of them.
Making them feel bad about having Kirk Ferentz as their coach.
Making Friday the saddest day in Iowa since they put Sudafed behind the counter.
Making them wish they never closed the Field of Dreams.
This one's personal with me.
I guess.
I have a lot of acquaintances, coworkers, even some friends who are Iowa fans. And damn it, I want to beat these guys.
Have you considered finding better friends?
No comment.
I like it. So let's, you know, we talk about this every year, the Thanksgiving hangover. Obviously, these are top flight athletes, you know, student athletes, but, you know, certainly athletes, and they have a very, I don't want to say orchestrated.
Thanksgiving week as a college student sucks. I'll be the first to say it.
No, so, tell me why, because I'm not a college student.
You just get everything piled up on you.
Okay.
All the work, you know, it's a crucial point of the semester. It's a short week, and you're just kind of focusing on, you know, having some time off and relaxing, and you still got stuff to do. In their case, you got to go to practice, watch film, lift weights, get a game plan installed, be in meetings, you know, along with all their other obligations. And so it's, and then to top it off, you got a Black Friday game. So everything's pushed forward a day. You know, what you're doing and normally doing in 5 days, you're doing in about four. So I, you know, it's hectic for the coaches and players. So I, it's hectic for me, hell, just as a regular college student working a job. But so I kind of lost where I was going with that. I have this great way to sum it up, and my mind just totally went, you know, blank on me.
Well, I think
so,
kind of like you're old or something.
Hey, not as old as you.
Now, take it easy, John. He's the pup in the group here.
Yeah, but obviously not mentally.
No. Hey, you tried teaching 44 seventh graders.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Everybody chooses their career, buddy.
I know, and I enjoy it for the most part, but sometimes I ask myself what I'm doing.
Sometimes the career chooses you.
I kind of like that, too. But, no, it's just there's a lot going on. It's been a long semester, in this case, a long season as well. So there could be a tendency to kind of, you know, if somebody's not acclimated to the kind of grind that a short week is, they could maybe get lost, you know, thinking too far ahead or not being urgent enough in their preparation.
Well, I don't think that'll be a problem with this team.
No,
we've lost to Iowa three straight times. The senior class has not beaten Iowa.
They beat them in 14 if they redshirted in 14.
Right. Okay. Well, whatever.
But I mean, that's.
I'm just happy. You know, this. I'm not going to Iowa City this year, and you know, after going to three Nebraska Iowa games in 13, 15, and 16, all losses that I attended, I don't think I'm ever going to attend another Nebraska-Iowa game.
I don't think you're allowed to.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, and you laugh. John laughs, but I think we as a coordination staff have prohibited you from attending another Nebraska-Iowa game.
Yeah, I mean, I should start going to, well, every Nebraska-Michigan State game we've won, so I have that one. I've been to the one game that been to a game that we lost to Wisconsin as well. So that, yeah. Okay, but my luck is not as bad as when I'm at a Nebraska.
Well, did you go to the Nebraska Bethune-Cookman game?
No, I did not.
All right.
But I was at probably the most painful game this year.
Northwestern, I know.
Nebraska, Northwestern.
And that really, that's not your fault. That's just Chicago being Chicago.
Chicago, that's one hell of a city.
It's something. As a downstate Illinoisan, it sure is something.
Yeah, sure is something looming up there to the north.
Quite the stench. Anyway.
Since we're on the topic again about Nebraska, Iowa, because, hey, it's Iowa Hate Week.
Yes, it is.
The importance of playing a clean football game, not just from the aspect of penalties, but limiting negative yardage plays. And we've been doing a pretty good job of that the past few games, especially since we started turning things around from the Northwestern game to now. But if we're going to really cause problems for Iowa's defense, we've got to be ahead of schedule on down and distance. You know, second and six, second and four, you know, being able to get into some situations where it's second and one and the whole playbook's open. Because if we can keep their safeties having to account for the full range of our offense, meaning deep throws to receivers, underneath throws to receivers, screens to the perimeter, that's going to open up our running game even more. And they've got a pretty stalwart defense against the run. They're not the 85 Bears. They're not the 2018 Michigan State Spartans rushing defense.
They're eighth.
They're eighth. And to be fair, they kind of had a cake schedule, just like Iowa always does. And so it'll be interesting to see how we stack up with them in running the ball. AJ Espinosa, I can never get the name right. He's a pretty good DN. They got three freshman linebackers who replaced guys like Jewel and Bo Bauer and Ben Neiman. So you're throwing a lot of offense at them, counters, pullers, stuff like that. Got to be ahead in down and distance so we can have the full offense open to run constraint plays off of our base stuff, throw screens, throw it deep, you know, quarterback running game in certain situations. And if we can do that, you know, meaning get a good completion on first down, get a good gain on first down, this is going to be one fun ball game.
Let me pick your brain.
Wait, I want to go back to what he said, something right there. So, I mean, if you're an Iowa fan, you just happen to be listening to this podcast, I just want to say, boy, did you screw this year up. You screwed this year up so unbelievably bad. I don't know why you'd still be a fan of this team. You played the crappiest schedule maybe possible when it comes to Big Ten football. You literally played Penn State. That was it. And you're 4-4 right now in Big Ten play. Okay? You lost to Wisconsin. That's, you know, whatever. You lost to Penn State. You lose to Purdue. You lose to Northwestern in that slug match. Literally, this was the year that Iowa could have won the Big Ten West. It was set up for them, and they blew it. They suck.
And you know what's funny about that? Before last Saturday, all the Iowa fans had turned on Ferentz Family Football. And after they beat Illinois 63-0, while Illinois is missing their tailback Corbin, suddenly Iowa's Alabama. Suddenly, Brian Ferentz is the second coming of Bill Belichick. So, Iowa fans, don't ever change.
Yeah.
So, I don't get me wrong. Before we're done here, I'm going to rag on Iowa as well. But, Haas, I want to talk to you. You know, you mentioned some of those schematic things that Nebraska needs to do to, you know, stay ahead of schedule in the down and distance game. Talk to me about the improvements that you have seen in this offensive line. I know that there are still a few mental hiccups from time to time, you know, a hold here or there, but this is not the same offensive line that, you know, started the season. And I mean, personnel-wise, obviously, you know, they've had to make a few adjustments, but just overall cohesive, or I guess cohesion is the word I'm looking for, if we're going to be, you know, but if we're going to be grammatically correct. Talk to me about how this offensive line has improved, especially over the last half a dozen games.
Well, the big thing is personnel. As you mentioned, we got Tanner Farmer in there, and he's much more well-equipped to handle the center position against nose guards. But honestly, it's just repetition. You know, it took time to gel and get everything down, but they're showing really good technique. They're playing with some nastiness. There's not a lot of missed assignments, and that's huge. And with that came a lot of confidence. Those guys play confidently now. After a bad play, I don't see them getting their heads down or just standing there watching a pass rusher, you know, sack Martinez in the backfield. You know, there's actually a little bit of pride and some nastiness amongst these guys. And it just all goes back to repetition, technique, because they didn't get more talented overnight. I mean, your baseline talent is your baseline talent. But they just kept working at it. And I'm really proud of the way these guys have developed over the course of the season. I didn't think that they were ever going to get to this point, to tell you the truth, after, especially after that Troy game. I can excuse the Michigan game. Can't excuse the Troy game. And so, and you saw it, you had that stretch with Troy and Michigan. Then against Purdue, they played a little bit better. And against Wisconsin, they played a little bit better than the week before. And then against Northwestern, they started really clicking. And so it's going to be interesting to see how bringing in newcomers on the interior offensive line at left guard and center works next year. But with having Hymus, Bo Wilson, and Matt Farniok all coming back, that's a solid nucleus of guys to build around for next season.
Should Greg Austin receive at least some consideration for the Assistant Coach of the Year award that gets handed out?
Well, I don't think he's on the Frank Broyles award watch list, but I believe he's on the Joe Moore award watch list, which the Joe Moore award goes to the nation's best offensive line coach. And judging from where we started to where we're at now, give him the damn award. I mean, that guy has probably done as magnificent of a coaching job as anyone on this staff and as any other offensive line coach in the country. It's nothing short of amazing. We still have our hiccups. We still have some issues getting that left side B gap, accounted for in pass protection. But those guys have continued to improve each and every game, and it's the guy coaching it who is really stuck with those guys, and they didn't panic and bring in wholesale changes, and he just coached them harder and coached them up.
While we're talking about the offensive line, I want to get your take on the defensive side because, as I'm listening to the game this past Saturday, Sharp and Davison were making note of, numerous times that, Shenander was running in, a whole new defensive line unit. Obviously, on a day like we had Saturday when it's cold and snowy and, you have the opportunity. But they were, talk about your wholesale changes. It was, three guys as a unit get out on the field and go. What has been your biggest takeaway from the defensive line, this season, especially in the last month or so?
Just getting into their correct gaps and their run fits, playing with better technique. Big thing has been the emergence of Damian Daniels. Seems like the staff trusts him a little bit more as the season's gone on. Because when Mick first got hurt, it was a lot of rotation between him and Peyton Newell and Carlos Davis. And now, they're starting to put Carlos Davis more back at that D end kind of position. And they're starting to roll with Damian Daniels a lot more. He's a big space eater, so if he can get up to speed and he can get, really comfortable at this level because he's only a redshirt freshman, he's going to be a very good player. But a lot of it just gets back to guys knowing their assignments and executing their assignments.
Well, you guys ready to go what's the word I'm looking for? Wholesale whoop-ass on Iowa and their program and their fans and finish this episode out with some gosh darn entertainment?
Let's do it, friend.
All right, buddy. John?
Guy.
What?
Oh, welcome back.
Did you have your milk of magnesium?
Well, no. What the hell is that?
I don't know. Don't old people drink that?
God. Yeah, with scotch. What the hell?
This is John. We're about an hour past his bedtime. But I imagine he's, on a night that he's not spending his time with us recording this fine podcast available where you find your fine favorite podcast, I imagine he's sitting on a plastic-covered couch drinking his Metamucil and watching Murder, She Wrote.
Golden Girls.
What the hell? Okay, yeah. I'd probably stay up later than both of you sons of bitches to get up. You even think about it. I accomplish more by 7 a.m. than you do most of the day. And all those sorts of things like that.
I'm okay, yeah, so I gotta say, I'm in my mid-30s. I you know, I'm 36. It is what it is. I was in my truck today at work. I was riding with a young guy who was helping me out. He's 21, and I made an 80s sitcom reference that went right over his head. And it was, I thought it was a relatively obvious one. I mean, and I think he even went into the 90s, too. And I'm not talking like Home Improvement or something like that. You know, slightly more obscure, but, you know, recognizable. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I almost wanted to leave him in the town we were at. I'm like, come on, dude. You know, get your head out of the video games and you know, watch TV like the rest of us did, damn it.
Speaking of references, old references, I'll bring this up. 1985.
I thought you were going to tell us about.
Nebraska plays Missouri. Dale Klein kicks 7 field goals in that game.
And we still had a touchdown in that game.
We did, but that's not the point. I remember distinctly a guy as I'm leaving the stadium saying, it was in Missouri. I remember a guy saying to me specifically, if we have to kick field goals to win a game, we don't deserve to win it. And I thought, you're a stupid butt. That's what I thought. That's exactly what I thought of that guy.
He's a stupid butt. Did you hear that, Hoss?
Yeah, I go right for
John
the jugular.
Sounds like he's a preschool team.
I thought the reference that John was going to make was when Teddy Roosevelt, you know, got them all psyched up to charge San Juan Hill.
Kind of like this Friday.
Nate Stanley was on the the Maxwell Award watch list at the beginning of the year. He's not there now, is he? I don't think he is.
John, you want to lead off with your prediction for us?
Are we already doing predictions?
I mean, we can spend a few more minutes making fun of the Ferences and Iowa in general.
Well, I would predict that the announcers will comment on how bad Iowa smells like hogs.
I don't think they'll make such a prediction. I bet you they will fall over themselves. And again, this is a sweet gesture. There's a nice fancy college word that I'm trying to think of, and it's, you can tell I only went to 2 years of college. Anyway, that thing that the fans do when they turn around and everybody waves at the children's hospital, that's nice.
Oh, yeah.
Redeemable. There we go. I don't know how much of a college word that is, but that's about the only thing redeemable about Iowa City. I don't know. It's I've said it before, probably on this podcast, just not this episode, but I have family from Iowa, like my aunt, who is awesome, is a Hawkeyes fan, and, you know, she... born and raised a Hawkeyes fan, and she aunt by marriage. You know, it is what it is. So we always go back and forth. You know, typically this week, I'm sure I'll post the new shirt designs on my Facebook page so that she can see them and roll her eyes, and you know, we'll have some fun. But I don't know. Aside from her, my uncle, there's nothing in Iowa. Iowa is Kansas, except the shit smell from all the hog farms.
They have better dirt.
I should make a shirt that says Iowa is like Kansas but worse.
Works. It works.
All right. So Haas,
who else is there? No, there's no predictions. What about this Noah Fant dude? Did he catch the ball actually last week? Did they throw in the ball?
He had
is everybody happy? Oh, well, that's nice. It's nice that they finally included him in a game where they won 63-0 over a team that was just crappy in the first place. And then this Hawkinson kid, I assume he caught a lot of balls. So I was going to watch that game, but then, I mean, you know, Iowa, it's like every once in a while, Kirk Ferentz goes, hey, let's try to actually work this week and put a game plan together where we score.
Wouldn't shock me. He's too busy just cashing his checks.
They're doing something. I don't know what he's doing. But did you watch? We talked a little bit about Iowa Northwestern the week before, didn't we?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys watch that game? Because I watched that game. And it was like Iowa was terrified to throw the ball 10 yards down the field. It was a terrible game. I mean, it was, I don't know. You know what it was like? It was like watching an entertainment show where people just put leeches on their bodies to see who bleeds to death the fastest. Northwestern was your typical Northwestern offense where they're just like, no, well, maybe we'll score someday. And then Iowa was like, oh, my God, we don't want to score. That would be too, I don't know, the blood pressure would get up or too much or something. Literally, Nate Stanley would not throw the ball there. Either they didn't call plays to throw the ball down the field to their tight ends, or Nate just went, I can't throw the ball down the field. I don't know what the deal was with them.
Either or, I mean, you're not wrong, John, really. Watching football like that when two teams refuse to score is painful.
It is. And here's, you know, Husker Mike made this comment yesterday in our Slack room and about Iowa being a rival and that he doesn't think Iowa should be a rival because they don't aspire us to anything. You know what I mean? They're not who we want to be. They're not who we want to beat. All those years with Oklahoma, it was like four championship stuff. It was for Big Eight championships. And who's going to go to the Orange Bowl and who's going to have a shot at like a national title or at least be in the mix in the top five rankings at the end of the year. You know, when you look at Iowa, they got nothing. They got nothing in their history. Sure, they beat us the last 3 years. But you know what? You know what? For historical reference, Japan was pretty high and mighty during World War II in that era, and that was the only time they ever beat China in the last, like, 2,000 years, okay? So, big whoop-de-doo, you've beaten us 3 years in a row. You got nothing to show for it out of this. It's just like this season. They couldn't win the Big Ten West, even though they had, the weakest schedule possible. And everybody else sucked. Wisconsin was going to run away with this thing. And, you know, Alex Hornibrook gets injured. Quentin Cephas gets domestic abuse charges filed against him. He's off the team. You know, they got injuries. All sorts of stuff happened to Wisconsin. And, you know, in Nebraska, we don't get our crap together until the middle of the season. And there sits Iowa. Still just nothing. Hey, what are you guys doing? Nothing. I got Hawkeyes on my belly. You know, that's pretty much it. So I think, in a way, Husker Mike has a point that they aspire us to nothing. There's no
exactly. Choice.
There's no, you know, there, nothing.
But rivalries don't need to be about competitive excellence. Rivalries are about good old-fashioned hate. You can have a rivalry just based out of hate. You can have one out of competitive excellence. Nebraska-Oklahoma is competitive excellence. Nebraska-Iowa is just hate. It's a border war. Omaha's the 38th parallel between, you know, Nebraska fans and Iowa fans.
I want to
embrace it. It's fun. Both sides hate the shit out of each other. The chirping starts, you know, a couple weeks before the game starts. So it's a rivalry. You can't go anywhere in Omaha without bumping into an Iowa fan. I can't go into Oscar's and, you know, order a beer from the bar without some idiot wearing his Hawks, you know, 2016 Rose Bowl shirt where they got beat by Stanford by about 7 touchdowns. You know, they're everywhere.
So what you're saying is even if they don't aspire us to excellence, all we want to do is wipe this Iowa shit off our shoes.
You just want to
beat the highway until it quits beating back.
Let me ask this question, because I think perhaps ever since Nebraska joined the Big Ten, this has been overlooked. If Nebraska played any other team regularly on Black Friday, would they be – like if Nebraska and Northwestern met up, and Northwestern plays Illinois, so that's kind of tied up, but maybe, I don't know, Northwestern or Nebraska-Wisconsin or – I mean, is that just – I thought, shit, I think Wisconsin plays Minnesota because they have the Paul Bunyan trophy.
Are you asking – correct me if I'm wrong, Bart. Are you asking if whoever we played Black Friday, if that would be our rival?
Yeah, as long as it's, you know, sustained. And I don't mean – you know, I'm not trying to say that Colorado was a rival. Colorado's just the team we love to beat. But, you know, they were the day after Thanksgiving traditional game that you just look forward to because, you know, it was – you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, if it was a series that was established you know, Nebraska versus, you know, fill in the blank, and that was going to be the game after, you know, the Black Friday game every year. Because we, you know, that damn Hy-Vee Heroes Trophy is a manufactured trophy. It doesn't have the spirit, doesn't have the fun of the, even, you know, something like the $5 bits, yeah, broken chair trophy or any of the trophies in the Big Ten. But I look at it, and this is, you know, the day, or Thanksgiving weekend is a day of rivalries. You know, there's the Iron Bowl, there's, you know, the game. But I heard on, you know, ESPN out of St. Louis, they were talking about Missouri, Arkansas, the border war. And I got to thinking, I'm like, how many times have these two teams actually played each other? Maybe a handful since Missouri joined the SEC. But I don't look at that historically as being, you know, a rivalry. Like, I think of Kansas, Nebraska, you know, or I mean Kansas, Missouri, and I think of, you know, Nebraska, Oklahoma, or, you know, to an extent even Nebraska, Colorado. But I have trouble digesting the notion of this manufactured rivalry between Iowa. You know, I think if you put anybody in that game, then they're at least the chosen rivalry at the moment.
Here's the thing, though. The trophy might be manufactured,
but
the rivalry
is
not.
Okay.
The conditions were always ripe for a rivalry with Iowa even before we joined the Big Ten. Fans on both sides always jawed at one another about, you know, we always said we'd just beat the shit out of Iowa if we played them every year when we were, you know, operating at full sail. Iowa fans always thought that our schedule in the Big 8 and Big 12 was weak. And that, you know, we didn't play anybody. And if we played in their league, we'd get beat. And then Iowa fans living in Omaha want to act all aghast that Omaha's, in their words, big red mania. Yeah, well, no shit. It's in Lincoln, you know. So I like to say, or no shit, Omaha's in Nebraska. That's why I always like to say those Iowa fans. So the conditions were always ripe. You could play Iowa the first week of the season. You could play them the third week of October. It was always going to be a rivalry.
Okay.
Right on. Here's the thing. Northwestern, if we played Northwestern and tried to make them into a rivalry, first of all, I don't think Nebraska fans really – I think they respect Northwestern to a certain level, but it's really hard to have a rivalry of another school that where they don't even care about their own team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's regular that other people go to Evanston and fill up Northwestern Stadium, right? And you could kind of say the same thing about Minnesota. Minnesota's, you know, they've built a new stadium. They've got a dynamic coach, even though a lot of people think he's crazy. But you know what I mean? They're trying. But again, it goes back to we wouldn't look at Minnesota the same way because we don't hate them enough, and they don't aspire us to excellence enough. The only other team that would have fit that bill was Wisconsin, and that's because of, you know, Barry Alvarez's legacy of building them from the garbage that they were before he got there into a functional football team. And now kind of a, you wouldn't want to call them a powerhouse, but they've certainly become one of the better teams over the last, you know, 15 years. So plus they got that whole run game, red and white thing going on. They stole our traditions, blah, right, blah, blah. So the only two teams that would have fit this bill are Iowa and Wisconsin.
Since you mentioned, John, you mentioned Northwestern and how it's hard to have a rivalry with a team that, you know, or with, you know, a fan base that doesn't care that much about its own team. I'm sure you all saw the clip after the Kentucky game where I guess it was the senior kind of called out the fan base and said, hey, you know what, I don't know if they're top 15, top 20, whatever, but, you know, we're a ranked team on senior day and we can't get, you know, the kind of support and I'm paraphrasing, but he says you've got Nebraska who started, and he was right to a point. He said they started 0-5. I mean, we did, but we technically started 0-6. He said, and you've got, you know, a packed house, you know, for them. There is, and I get that in Nebraska there's not a whole lot else to do aside from fill up Memorial Stadium. Like, I get it. You know, we've talked in, you know, going back and seeing the last time Nebraska played down in Miami, and there's a sizable chunk of the stadium that's not being used. And it, Miami's, you know, the Coliseum in Los Angeles, I think one of the guys from the Big Red Cobcast said, you know, hey, if you want to go to the L.A. Coliseum and watch, you know, a bunch of players who, you know, hooked a bunch of Nebraska fans along for social media likes, you can come out and watch UCLA and USC, you know, strung them along. But, you know, even those games aren't at capacity, there is something special about Nebraska and the fan base, and it's fitting. This might sound weird, you know, especially X amount of years into the relationship, but I think Nebraska fits in the Big Ten. This is a football conference as much as it is, you know, basketball, you know, everything else. It's just there's something you get a little rabid as fans with, you know, as you mentioned, John, with the exception of Northwestern and Illinois not always filling up their Memorial Stadium. But, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, you know, Purdue, they've had a good year, so they're, you know, getting, you know, more butts in the seats. Wisconsin is always energetic. Penn State, I mean, take away the Rutgers and the Northwesterns and the possibly Marylands of the world, and you've got a pretty strong attendance across the board for the Big Ten, and that's why I think Nebraska does well. And I'm not opposed to calling Iowa a rival, Haas, for many of the reasons that you laid out just a few minutes ago. And part of that is, like you said, when you look at the schedule and you find the team that you just want to beat the most, that's your rival. And yep. I mean, I thank the good Lord that, you know, we're not, you know, 0-11 and we're in that case. Well, I don't care if we win just one game as long as it's Iowa. We're not in that situation. But I look at this game. This is a pivotal game because you win this game, you still have an outside shot at a bowl. And as we talked last week, a bowl is an opportunity for, you know, this team to get more practice, to, you know, get more reps, get more, see more action on the field. But I look at it as, and this was a question posed on the Facebook page, and if you will indulge me, I'd like your thoughts on this as well. But this was, we actually got, believe it or not, a post on Facebook asking our opinion. And Mary's from Grant, Perkins County, I think, in Nebraska, says the scuttlebutt. You can tell that Mary's, and I can say this, I know Mary. Mary is a mom of a friend of the show, Josh. But she says the scuttlebutt is that if Nebraska wins a game against Iowa, they'll get a bowl game even at 5-7 because the fans travel so well and mean big money to the host city, which is true. What is your opinion? And I answered for myself, and I want you guys to weigh in, but I think it would be fantastic for this group of seniors who, you know, maybe if they opt to play in the bowl game and maybe not, you know, risk injury for the combine or something like that. But I think it's a great way to send these seniors out. I think that they've earned the opportunity. They've you know, they've endured a lot in their 4 or 5 years. So I think they and as I phrased it on Facebook, I said I think that they've earned one more game with the program going in the right direction. What say you guys?
Well, definitely. Definitely deserve a bowl game, especially digging out, you know, well, before we get to the context of this season, just what they've endured their entire careers. But then when you look at from digging out from an 0-6 start to a 5-7 start and the possibility of a bowl, albeit a very long shot possibility, I would love to see that, you know, for them as a capstone to their career. For my own selfish reasons as a Husker football fan, just wanting to see the team play as many times as possible in a season. So, Lord willing, please let something fall into place because I'm starting to talk myself into actually believing going to a bowl. Because I
don't
back in the APR.
Yeah, I don't. Plus, I don't. They can't. If there's 6-6 teams out there, they can't just reach out and take somebody else because
sure,
Nebraska travels well. I mean, I'd love to see us in a bowl game too, but, you know, That's not going to happen.
But I mean, if the chips fall in place, no issue with you, John, with Nebraska in Scott Frost's first year going bowling at 5-7, just like they did in Mike Riley's first year at 5-7.
No, I think, why would you have any issue with that? That's just dumb.
I don't know. Just, that was the question as it was posed.
Well, a lot of people listen to this.
A lot of people do listen to this.
You guys that listen to this and thinks it's dumb that we would go to a bowl at 5-7, you're just dunderheads.
And I'll say this, thank you. That and carbuncle. We're hearing some words tonight, Haas. We are hearing straight profanity from the 1870s.
Yes, we are. Now let's do something that'll really get the good. Not good. Not good at all. The somewhat tolerable people east of the river all riled up. Let's do predictions.
And before we do that, we want to congratulate the Husker men's basketball team. Nebraska ball picked up a win Monday night in Kansas City against Missouri State, 85-62. That final came in as we were recording, so I want to do a throw that in there. Make sure that you go to coronation.com, read all about it. Patrick Gerhardt is recapping the basketball this week. Prediction time, and we already know half of where Haas is going. So, John, we're going to have you start with your Black Friday prediction.
Black Friday? It sounds so bad. Black Friday. Maybe it should be Red Friday. What the hell's wrong with that?
Well, because traditionally Black Friday is the day, yada, yada, businesses and corporations, they have the sales and they get their money, their bank accounts in the black.
Oh.
To get
out
of
there. Maybe if they were that crappy a business, they should be doing business the rest of the year. Okay, I work with people who are Black Friday's a big thing to them. I get it. Okay, I'm looking at the weather report. Friday shows high of 51 degrees, showers, precipitation at 70%. Winds out of 11 miles per hour. So, you know, obviously not Michigan State weather. And I'd say 38 points for us and negative 436 for them because they suck. Now I'll say I'll give them 10.
And make sure you get your Iowa Sucks shirts at jitterymonkey.com/shop. There you go.
I mean, really, besides the two tight ends, who do we have to guard?
That's a very
good
question.
Our own ass.
We got to make sure we take care of business on our end, is what they say, how they say. Isn't that what's right, Haas?
Yep.
All right. I guess I will go because I really am so excited. I like building the anticipation for Haas's prediction. I will say Nebraska is going to win. John went 38-ish. I already know part of where Haas is going. I will say, because you do need a field goal from time to time, 45-28, Nebraska.
I like it.
Great. Hey, one more thing. Just one. Nate Stanley... At the beginning of this year, was supposed to be an NFL-level quarterback, supposed to be the guy that was going to be drafted for Iowa as a quarterback. Again, have you guys watched Iowa much this season?
I have not. I don't.
A little bit.
Okay. That guy is inconsistent. What's his like third year starting or something?
Second.
Well, he's not consistent. I mean, I could make insults about him, but I'd just be insulting some poor guy from Iowa. What's the point of that? He's just not been, you know, like I mentioned in the Northwestern game, it was like he was afraid to throw the ball 10 yards down the field. He's literally been all over the board. He's not gotten any better. That's why I look at it and I go, okay, he's going to loft the ball high in the air to Noah Fant. If he's open on play action, then they're going to score on that. But again, wow. You know what? There's two quarterbacks in this game, two starting quarterbacks in this game. One is rising and one is not rising. There you go.
I'm going to go with the
team. Here it is.
the team with the quarterback that's rising, your, mine, Greg's, and John's Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling into Iowa City. Uh-huh. That East Berlin of the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Rolling up about 550 yards of total offense.
I like it.
And dropping half 150 points
half
on
100.
Iowa in Iowa City. Nebraska 50, Iowa 21. The saddest day in Iowa since they put Sudafed behind the counter.
I like it. It shan't be a field of dreams for the Iowa Hawkeyes this Friday.
And may luck be a lady for the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Luck if she's ever really ever been a lady.
What? What? What?
Hey, I know.
All right, let's get out of here.
I know my guys and dolls, damn it.
It's like you're getting all hot and lathered up over there, man. Okay.
And on that note, my name is Greg Mahochko. Ladies,
yeah,
and
I got to tell you, we got this right in our headphones when he's doing this. So it's just,
Let me break it down for you right now. My name is Greg Hooch Mahochko. He's Hoss Reuter, and that's John Damn Johnston. And we remind you this week and every week that Five Heart is all the heart you need. John?
Go Big Red!
Win the damn game.
Got a little excited there.
I guess.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.